Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that is
Miami sports music.
Walk in the hard rock, face dumb on a Sunday. They telling me we all came down to the ground. It's a death, but they just up the club. Going to work, on the fuck. It's on this money, and we coming, coming to play. I'm on the streets, I'm trying to keep it free. So we're going to peace to that.
Beach. We got teams scared to come back down to Miami, and we're going to see what them biplanes, what they got for us this week, because I think it's three in a row. We had a bye last week. We're fresh. Our line back in action. Ryan Tannehill had extra time to look at the film, the 22. We ready for the Jets. We ready for the Jets. What you got to say about that, Cleveland? I think you took the Jets this week. You want to tell the fans why you so hyped up on the biplanes this week?
Well, I wouldn't say hyped up. I would say that I was impressed with the way that they were able to rebound and win their last two games as well. And, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. The incorrigible Brandon Marshall is ready to go. I just think that it's going to be a good win for those guys.
I guess you're going to act like you didn't see my guy run for 400 yards the last two games, did you?
Oh, no. Since he's replaced the vegan, Ajay, the person that was all pouty early in the season about not getting a chance to play more, is finally getting his opportunity. He's done well with it.
Yeah, he's really done well with it. When you get your opportunity, man, you got to take it. You got to take it and run with it. He's been running and over and around defenders, and we'll be excited. I'm excited to see him run through the Jets this week. So we'll talk about that game a little later. But the Redskins and the Bengals fly all the way to London to end up in a tie. Did you catch any of that game? I know it was on kind of early, but did you happen to catch any of that?
I did catch some of that, and once again, Shankopotamus reared its ugly head, and I actually – ironically, had switched out the Redskins kicker for my number one guy, Jason Tucker, in my fantasy leagues, and thought that he was going to be the difference. And he did score a few points for me, but when it came down to clutch time, he just wasn't there.
Yeah, apparently a few players weren't there when it came down to clutch time. It was both of them went back and forth on missing field goals. Kind of looked like that Seahawks game from a couple weeks ago, Seahawks and Cardinals. Speaking of the Seahawks, boy, did they take a smacking around down in the Big Easy. Did they have a few too many drinks on the in the Big Easy? Or the
okay, first of all, watch them out. First of all, watch them out. We only talk about the Seahawks getting smacked around. They barely lost.
They did.
Four field goals. Couple gimme touchdowns. The officiating was extremely questionable.
The game should not have been that close. Seattle had two goal line stands. I think it was a third. No, they did have three goal line stands, which inside the one, they held the Saints to a field goal twice, and then they went for it on fourth down. They held them again. That game shouldn't have been that close. The New Orleans should have got in there, gotten the end zone at least one or two of those times. That game would not even come down to the last second or last drive for the Seahawks. The Seahawks are in trouble. There ain't no other way to put it. The Seahawks are in trouble. There's no playmakers on the field except for number three, and he's about 55% of himself. So with that being said, Graham, the best receiver you got, still isn't getting open – quite often enough, the pedestrian receivers that they have aren't able to get open quite enough. The running game, very suspect. They're missing the number 24, who was in the backfield the last few years. This is the Seahawks are in trouble. I'd like to see now on the radio, all I heard was the complaining about the refs, how the refs didn't call a pick play, how the refs let New Orleans get away with all these ticky-tack fouls that they were complaining. It was nothing but complaints.
As well as questionable pass interference and holding calls, yes.
You even had Pete Carroll talking about, oh, well, they must have had a heck of a week of practice because they went from 11 penalties last week to 2 this week. Come on, Pete. Just take a beating, man. Just take the whooping like a man. What's your excuse for the Seahawks getting smacked around?
Okay, first off, you're right on a number of the points that you pointed out. The running game is not where we need it to be. The offensive line is not giving Russell Wilson enough time to throw to those quote-unquote pedestrian receivers. As we all know, Jimmy Graham should pretty much be open on every single play that he runs. But Russell Wilson was not given enough time for those plays to develop. That's on the offensive line. So those two areas need to be addressed, need to be corrected. But at the same time, what that leads to is the defense being on the field for too many plays. And when they had opportunities to get off the field, the refs didn't help. I'm just going to leave it at that.
It was a tough week, and we'll see how they manage to come out of this week here, of this week's of practice, because it was a tough week. It was an ugly game, and they have the Bills this week, another ferocious defensive line coming at them. Let's see if they're able to, get the offensive line and Tom Cable is able to come up with a game plan to keep Russell upright and give him time to hit these receivers, because he has to be pinpoint accurate. Because his receivers are not getting any separation, so we'll see how that works himself out. The Cowboys keep winning again. I mean, it's hard to come up with something on these guys. They got a great running game. They got a great offensive line that keeps their defense off the field. Dak is able to be a quintessential game manager. The Cowboys just keep rolling. And my question for you, are the Cowboys the best in the NFC?
And the answer is emphatically yes. I'm not going to say they're the most complete team. Emphatically, I'm not going to say they're the most complete team. But when you get to this point in the season and you're 7-1, you've mauled everybody in front of you. You're not sure if Tony Romo's going to come back and start or what Jerry Jones is going to do, but whatever he's going to do, I mean, they've won quite a few of these games without their best player, which is Dez Bryant. So he's now back into the fold. They look extremely formidable, like the best team in the NFC right now.
Well, there's a team up in the Thousand Lakes that might have an argument with you on that one. And had I not hear about the turmoil going on there on the coaching staff earlier today, I might have had a bigger argument for them as well. North Turner resigns, shows huge signs of some turmoil with the relationship with the head coach. What did that say to you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean... Norv Turner's resume speaks for itself. I mean, you know, we're talking about a two-time Super Bowl champion. We're talking about someone that's resurrected the career of many mediocre quarterbacks, has basically kind of reinvented the way offenses are run. So for him to step away in the middle of the season for a team that's only lost 2 games without their starting quarterback and running back, that says a lot to what's going on over there. You're absolutely right.
Well, the it, it, apparently he has some family issues he needs to attend to, North Turner.
Well, okay, well, if he has family issues that you need to attend to, then just say that. I mean, he was making it seem like it was philosophical differences with the coaching staff. So if it's just you need to step away for a little bit and come back, completely understandable, but he just resigned altogether. So unless, you know, then
yeah,
that had been something a little bit more, you know, evident going on underneath the scenes.
Well, let's hope Zimmer is thinking that he could do it without North. They elevated Shermer, I think, as a new offensive coordinator, and we'll see how that works out. But let's hope Zimmer isn't thinking he didn't need North, and that's why they decided to go that route. We'll see what happens in the coming weeks, but that's certainly, as a quasi-Vikings fan who was enjoying their winning streak, and let's hope that's not the case. Your boy Cam Newton met with Roger Goodell. What do you think is going to be the outcome of that meeting, that union?
I think that Cam Newton will certainly get an opportunity and a platform to address his issues with some of the hits that he's been taking. And I think that because this is a quarterback-driven league and it is the MVP of the league last year and the Super Bowl runner-up making these claims and having this conversation, this dialogue, I think it will go somewhere, honestly.
What do you think the rest of the players in the league are going to think about Cam going to the principal's office to say that everybody's playing with him too rough?
I think that they'll probably have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, but at the same time, if you look at some of the hits that Cam takes adverse, I mean, I saw Drew Brees get, again, not trying to get back to the officiating of the Hawks game, but I saw K.J. Wright grab Drew Brees and kind of very gently throw him to the ground and get an unnecessary roughness call. I've seen Cam on numerous occasions nearly get his head taken off, and there was nothing called.
Well,
so I think he's got a little bit of a claim.
I think he certainly has a complaint. Well, just whether anything gets done about it or not is something else.
But the NFL is all about protecting their quarterbacks, which is why all of the rule changes have been made. And you see it, like I was saying, for example, with Drew Brees, you see it with other quarterbacks that for whatever reason, this 6'5", 240-pound freak of nature does not get that same accommodation. He doesn't.
You know, dare I say, we know there's reason for that, first of all. And dare I say, one of the reasons could possibly be is the dancing and the charades that was going on the sidelines last year. Dare I say that's the reason that they kind of, you know, swallowed the whistle a little bit.
That they're trying to, you know, kind of keep him in his lane, so to speak, and are not particularly happy about some of the antics that he has, but at the same time, he takes some major blows, and they do not blow that whistle.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, I think more Cam's going to get more kickback of more than the refs helping him out or then looking real closely at these hits. I think he's going to get more kickback from the players, you know, of him going to the principal's office. So we'll see how that works out. And your Tennessee Titans, they're finally making some plays, man. And they're finally making some plays and the two-headed monster, the running game, Murray and Derrick Henry, with Marcus Mariota pulling it down every now and then, picking up a first down, makes these guys real formidable, man. They're I know they're 3-4, four and four actually, 500 now. But that system, man, that might be able to get some points on the board and get some W's. What do you think? Oh well, I know you already.
I have been pleasantly surprised at their progress, It certainly didn't look very good for them a few games ago, but they've been able to, you know, the schedule's lightened up for them a little bit, and they've been able to take advantage of their opportunities. And I like what Marcus is doing. I wish he had slightly better receivers to throw to, but at the same time, that defense getting run by Pittsburgh's old defensive coordinator, Dick LeBeau. I mean, they're starting to turn around as well, and that two headed monster, like you're saying. I mean, you know, ball control, let Marcus do his thing, and you know, good things can happen. That division is not very strong, so it's a very good opportunity that they could come up with the victory over there.
Yeah, they got some good stuff going on down there, and we'll see how they progress. Cleveland almost had those biplanes, man. Almost had them going late into the fourth quarter. Biplane scored a touchdown late in the game to bring them back. But Cleveland almost had their first W over this weekend. Did you catch any of that game?
I did not catch a whole lot of that game. A little bit on the red zone, but not a whole lot of that game, to be quite honest.
All right. Well, you didn't miss much. It was the biplane, after all. And Arizona and Carolina, you picked it. You said Carolina's going to get their second W. I had Arizona winning that game. Traveling across the country, good pick out of you. We'll give you credit for that pick. This week, you actually won the pick 8-7. You actually had one of your picks correct against the spread. I had zero correct, so good work out of you. Confidence picks, we end up in a tie. I had Cleveland, Seattle, and Cincinnati winning. None of those guys won, but Oakland and New England won for me, 4-5. And you had 2-3-4 win for you. Minnesota obviously lost, and the Seahawks lost. So we both end up in a tie there. I have the year lead there on the confidence picks there. What I learned from last week is Brock Osweiler is just flat out terrible. He's worse than Ryan Tannehill. He really is. And then Russell's injury, that's what I learned from last week. It really means a lot to the Seahawks, and his injury is going to really impact their winning, their record moving forward in this season. How about you? What did you learn from last week?
What I learned from last week is how the media really tries to manipulate the perception of the NFL fan. I've heard read several articles stating that Derek Carr could be the best quarterback under 30. Now, that's also including that class under 30 includes my guy up here in 206, Russ, your guy out there in Indy, Andrew Luck, under 30. They're already putting Derek Carr in front of these guys. That, to me, is just absolutely asinine.
Asinine, huh? Derek Carr, I haven't read those articles, so I don't know exactly what they're pinpointing. But I tell you what, Derek Carr is a winner. He comes back. He's been through the fire, and he's resilient. I think his resiliency is he's a gamer. He probably doesn't practice well. He probably completes very few practices. Very few passes in practice. He's a gamer, and I give him 100% credit for being just that. Whether he's the best quarterback under 30, and come on, Lafar, you name just a couple better. I think I'll probably name one or two just as well. But he's a gamer, so I give him 100% credit for being a gamer, and he brings these guys back, man. Yeah, I give him credit for that.
Well, I mean, I'm somewhat okay with, you know, him being, you know, ahead of, you know, Lucky over in Indiana. But, I mean, you're talking about over somebody that went to back-to-back Super Bowls. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
You have a few injuries. You have a few games that maybe you shouldn't have tied or lost. And all of a sudden they want to throw Derek Carr above you? That's
well,
a lot.
And then that comes along, you know, that comes along with you know, the hot chick or the new chick at school. So, always going to get a little bit more attention than the person who's been right in front of your face for the last several years.
Good point.
So I do. Speaking of Derek Carr, I have Oakland as number four this week in my conference pool. New England is five. Cincinnati, Seattle. I'm giving Seattle another chance. And actually, that was Cleveland. Actually, I think I need to change that. I didn't update that for whatever reason. This week we have coming up, we have the Falcons and the Buccaneers. As I mentioned, they play tomorrow night. The games I'm looking forward to seeing are the Lions and the Vikings. See if the Vikings, who lost two games in a row, see if they're able to come back, if they're able to get over their adversity, the turmoil in the locker room there, and come back and get a W. And then the aforementioned Broncos and Raiders. I mean, I think that's going to be a good game with the Raiders, both of them being 6-2. This is for the division title here, or the division lead, I should say. I think that's going to be an interesting game. And I have the Raiders at home winning that game. You chose Denver. And is that because of a little hatred of Derek Carr?
Oh, my goodness. There's no hatred on my – on my part. I just thought it was a little curious that, the media tried to stir up controversy when there was just no need for that. But I just don't think the Raiders are really ready to win a very big game like that. And I think that the Broncos have more experience and will ultimately take that game in a victory. Obviously not having C.J. Anderson's a little bit of an issue. Devontae Booker has had some fumbles. Problems, but I think that their defense is good enough to overcome that.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. I got the Raiders, man. I think the Raiders have enough. They're going to score 21 to 28 points, and the Broncos will score 21 points. So it'll probably be a 27 to 21 game. I got the Raiders winning. I just don't think they'll score enough points. Now, if their defense scores points for them, that's a different story. But looking at it right now, I think the Raiders are going to be able to put up more points than the Broncos and able to get that win. Another game is the rivals, the Steelers and the Ravens, actually. They play each other this week, and I think that's going to be a good game because, well, it always is, the Steelers and the Ravens. They're always a hard play, hard-nosed football. I think that'll be a good game. Might be a little low-scoring. 9-6 is what they did, I think, last year. And they might do a 9-12 game type this year, but it'll be an entertaining game nonetheless. How about you? What games are you looking forward to this season? Or this week, I should say.
You know, like you were saying, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what Minnesota can do, given that the offensive guru in North Turner has stepped down kind of in the middle of the week, kind of an odd time to do that. So if they lose three in a row, not being able to establish a running game and not being able to protect Sam Bradford, so we can't see that chemistry between him and Stephon Diggs that we saw very earlier in the season, that could be a big swing in the NFC number two seed, because as we both agree, Dallas is going to get that number one. And the other game is seeing if the Seahawks can bounce back and just keep things, status quo. I'm not expecting much of a challenge from the Buffalo Bills traveling across the country on a Monday. But, hey, on any given Sunday, anything can happen. So if this offense looks as abysmal as it looked on the last Sunday, it could be an issue. But I'm looking to see the Seahawks get back on track.
Well, we'll see if they're able to. Buffalo's going to be they're a tough defensive team to get on track with. And, only teams with a superior offensive line can control the Buffalo Bills and run for like 200 yards on them.
Well, as we said earlier, the running game is certainly suspect for the Seahawks at this point. So I wouldn't anticipate something like that happening. It would have to be more the offensive line giving Russell Wilson the opportunity and the time to make plays, and the defense coming up with some timely turnovers, special teams here and there. But it's not going to be an easy win. I'm expecting 25-19, something along those lines.
Okay, so is there any thought of actually acquiring? I know we just had the trade deadline come and go this past week, but what do the fans in Seattle think about their quote-unquote pedestrian wide receivers?
The wide receivers are fine. No one around here is ever going to question the wide receiver play, especially when Doug Baldwin has the capability of, you know, exploding 14 touchdowns. And we have the best tight end, you know, the best catching tight end in the game, you know, when targeted. So nobody's too worried about that part of it. It is really more along the lines of the running game and the offensive line. I know that there were several people, myself included, kind of hoping that they were able to make a trade for a Joe Thomas, but it just wasn't in the cards, you know, and it's hard to bring an offensive lineman into your system midway through the season, so we're just going to have to muddle through it, but I'm a little concerned with those two areas of the game.
Yeah, we'll see how things shake out now to the rest of the season with the Seattle Seahawks and if they can get that offensive line together. I see you're pretty confident in your Jaguars, huh? The Jags plus nine, that's what you're taking?
Oh, yeah, I'm taking the points, yeah, for sure. They had to make some changes. Anytime you make a change at the offensive coordinator position, the first game is always that luxury game, you know? It's a game where you do some things a little bit differently. You catch some teams off guard because – the other, you know, all the tape that you have on, you know, on the offensive previously is, you know, it's almost obsolete. You don't really know what they're going to do. The new offensive coordinator wants to make his own, you know, stamp on the team and kind of tell them they do some things.
Okay. There's a rain delay in the World Series, a little off topic.
Yeah, I see that. That's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy. And not only is it a rain delay, it's a rain delay in the 10th inning.
Yeah. Do you have any fantasy football players, hot players, fantasy football players? Tyreek Hill, somebody I picked up. A couple weeks ago, I picked up Howard, the running back from Chicago, who actually had a big game for me. What fantasy football players do you have that somebody needs to look at?
Well, I think that after Ingram's fumble and his replacement with Hightower getting 100 yards against the best defense in the NFL, I think certainly he's somebody to take a look at. Also, staying in that same team with the Saints with Snead, I think he's somebody to take a look at. From the leagues that I am in, it's just – we're down to that point in the season where if you kind of don't already have him, you're probably not going to get him. I was able to pick up Jameson Crowder for the Skins.
Oh,
I was just kind of plugging in. Yeah, I was just kind of plugging in, you know, for a receiver that had a bye that week, and he's been pleasantly surprising the last 2 weeks. So Jameson Crowder, and also if you're able to get Cole Beasley, if Dak Prescott remains the starter over there in Dallas, a question we didn't address. But, yeah, Cole Beasley in the slot's a good guy.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your feedback, man. I'm gonna look at Crowder one more time because I looked at him a few weeks ago, but he wasn't available. I'm sure he might be – well, I'm going to see if he's available this week. Thanks for tuning in to another fantastic week. Cleveland, thank you for your feedback and appreciate your the bandwagoniness of the Seahawks, you're caping for the Hawks. I appreciate that.
Always in the Seahawks in the state of mind, bro.
Well, that sounds good, man. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week. See how they face against the Bills and how my Dolphins do against the Biplanes. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Right on, bro. Talk soon.